Ian made, sold 1 million copies. BBC News.
And now on BBC Radio 4, our classic serial, a tale of love, tyranny and rebellion, set in the Staffordshire Potteries. Arnold Bennett's Anna of the Five Towns, dramatised by Helen Edmondson.
That's it. You can do it. How clever. Look at you. We're in here, Agnes. Look at Millie. She's trying to stand.
Clever girl, Millie.
She wasn't even holding on a moment ago. How was Father?
There's the most tremendous commotion at the top of Edward Street. Haven't you noticed?
We haven't been out this morning, have we, Millie? We've been far too busy.
You'll never guess what. They found a body in one of the old pit shafts on the field. You can almost see it from here.
A body?
Some men from the mine came to do some work and they found it. I just saw Alderman Sutton. He said if I'd have been coming back an hour earlier, I'd have seen them carrying it down the hill. Only it's not really a body anymore. It's a skeleton.
Agnes.
And do you know who they think it is? Willie Price.
Willie Price? Why on earth would he think that? Willie Price lives in Australia. He left years ago.
But Mr. Sutton said they found a wallet and there was a ticket inside, a passage to Australia from Liverpool. And there was an envelope with money in it, quite a lot of money, I think.
Oh, my God.
Do you suppose he jumped? He can't have fallen, can he? He must have known these fields really well. Didn't he used to live in this house? Anna? Anna, what's wrong?
It can't be Willie Price. William lives in Australia. I speak to him. He lives up
here. Here, let me take Millie. Sit down.
Oh,
it's all right, Millie. Come to Auntie Agnes. That's it. What are you doing?
I have to go and see.
No. There isn't anything to see.
No.
There was just such a small crowd. They will have gone by now. Oh, please sit down, sis. Please. Take deep breaths. It's all right, Millie. Anna. My goodness, I thought you were going to faint.
It can't be William. It is impossible.
But Mr. Sutton said the ticket had the right date. Oh. He remembered when Willie Price left. There was all that trouble with his father.
4 years ago. December.
Yes. I must have been 12. Mr. Sutton was on his way to see Henry.
Why?
Because of the money, I think. He didn't say exactly, but he mentioned something about missing Sunday school funds.
He's wrong. That's completely wrong. Why was they always...
Anna! I'm so sorry. I would never have blurted it out like that if I thought it would upset you so much.
I'm all right.
I didn't realise you knew him well. I can only just remember him. I remember he always smiled at me. He had very blue eyes. He was shy, wasn't he?
Yes.
Were you quite fond of him? What did you mean you speak to him?
William. My William. It's 5:30 in the evening. I'm standing at the window of my bedroom in Priory House, looking out over Bursley and the fields and to the moors beyond. The days are drawing in on this side of the world and the sun's already setting over the town. The rows of ovens and factories are immune beneath their veil of smoke. But where the tall chimneys break through, the brown of their bricks is being struck with reddish fire. And in the distance, the angel on the town hall spire is gleaming gold. Agnes told me a terrible tale today. She said you didn't go to Australia at all. She said you didn't settle on your ranch by the river. That you don't look out on a wide, clear sky like the sky in a child's painting. That you didn't meet your wife in the outward voyage and your first child won't be born at Christmas time. Is it true, William? Answer me. I've been trying to remember everything that happened in the weeks and months before you left. The order, the details of our... What was it that happened between us? I remember the first time you spoke to me. One July day at Sunday school. I hardly thought of it at the time. For that was the summer of revelations when everything in my quiet life was being challenged. And after which nothing would ever be the same.
A revival, boys and girls, for those of you who don't know, is a great rallying call to every man, woman and child within the circuit to come and declare their love for the Lord and to be admitted into his kingdom. And we are most fortunate that one of the greatest revivalists ever to have lived is coming here to Bursley to lead us in that call. Let us pray. May the blessing of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost rest upon us now and forever. Amen. Mabel Wilson. Where is Mabel Wilson?
Mabel Wilson, Superintendent Price.
Yes, come in, Miss Tellwright.
Come, Mabel.
So, girl, Miss Tellwright tells me that you have been caught out thieving. And what is it exactly that you stole?
Kitty's Bible.
Speak up.
Kitty's Bible.
She lost her own and was afraid to say so. Is that right, Mabel?
Yes, miss.
And so she took Kitty. She knows it was very wrong. She'd never do it again.
Well now, Mabel Wilson, I must say that in all my years as Sunday school superintendent, I never heard of anything so wicked as the stealing of one child's Bible by another. To steal is a sin against God. To steal a Bible is a sin twice over.
Father. Oh, sorry. I shall come back.
Wait, Mr. Price. Have you ever known a boy in Mr. Minor's class to steal a holy Bible from a fellow pupil?
Well, no. I can't say I have.
There then. I should say that makes you the most evil child ever to have attended the Bursley Methodist Sunday School, Mabel Wilson. And I'm afraid I have no choice but to dismiss you.
Dismiss?
We shall not have you here again. If it had been anything else but a Bible. But this shows a wickedness of soul which has no place amongst us. Wait on that chair now. And when I've done my work, I shall walk with you to your parents' house and tell them what has happened here.
I could take a superintendent.
No. No, Miss Tellwright. That duty falls to me.
Miss Tellwright.
Yes, Mr. Price.
I just wanted to say I'm sorry.
You have no need to be.
Faith, it can be very strict.
He has his duty to do.
It wasn't your fault. I mean, I can see how much it upset you and I don't want it to spoil your day. It's a beautiful day.
How kind you were. How sensitive. Thank you, Mr. Price.
William. Most folk call me Willie, but I prefer William.
Very well. I must go. My sister will be waiting for me.
I saw her. She's by the gate. She's with Mr. Miners.
Oh. Right. Thank you. I'm sure I'll see you at chapel.
Yes. Good day.
My heart felt suddenly large within my chest as I stepped out into the sunlight and saw Agnes standing with Henry Miners. Had you blushed slightly as you mentioned his name to me? Had you understood, just as I did in that moment, the staggering significance of this man? Exemplary, prosperous, desired, waiting in the schoolyard for me. I think perhaps you had. But you were gone. And there was he, his steady, dark eyes compelling me to walk towards him.
You're late this afternoon, Miss Tellwright.
Yes. One of my pupils has been doing wrong. She stole a Bible.
Ah, yes. The unfortunate Mabel Wilson.
I'm afraid Mr. Price says she must be dismissed.
Dismissed?
Gosh. You think it's harsh too? Mr. Price said if it was anything other than a Bible...
Yes, but...
But I think it's a great pity. Mabel's not a bad girl. Perhaps you might speak to Mr. Price.
Certainly. If he raises the matter with me.
Yes, of course. I meant that.
Look at my book, Anna. Did you see me go up and get it?
Yes. What's it called?
Janie's Sacrifice. It's ages since I had a prize.
I've been asking her if she really deserves it. What do you think, Miss Big Sister?
I'm sure she does.
I do. I had to recite the four alls by heart and not stop once. Mm. Anna, can I whisper something?
Agnes.
It's only quick.
Can we go to the Very well. But we must be back by four. Agnes wants to go and see the new park.
There's going to be a band.
But that's excellent. I'll accompany you if you'll allow it.
What stacks of folk? It's like going to a football match.
Do you often go to football matches, Agnes?
No, I haven't been to one. Oh, look at the railings. They've painted the tops gold.
I think half of Bursley was in the park that day, William. People from every walk of life had gathered to explore the town's newest achievement. There were many whom we knew, and I quickly became aware that we were causing a stir. I could almost hear the story being passed from mouth to mouth. Strange, reserved Anna Tellwright, daughter of the most notorious miser in the Five Towns, walking through the park, bold as brass, with Mr. Henry Miners. I knew what they would think. That it was my father's money which was drawing him on. But I also knew, with a certainty I can hardly explain, that it was myself. Something in the spirit and the form of me which had awakened his desire.
Good afternoon, Mr. Miners.
Good afternoon. Shall we walk up the terraces, Miss Tellwright? It seems quieter up there.
Yes. Why not to the top?
Why not indeed?
Agnes, we're going this way.
Coming.
So, how are you feeling about making the home visits next week?
To be frank, I'm not looking forward to it. I'm not sure people want me on their doorsteps lecturing them about the revival.
Oh, don't know. I can think of worse things. There'll be a special teachers' meeting at the end of the week. We shall make sure you're quite prepared.
Have you done it before?
Yes. I like meeting my pupils' parents. Not that they'll be my pupils for long.
Oh?
I found out today that I'll be taking over the men's Bible class in the autumn.
That's very good.
Yes. I feel ready for it. Someone else will have to look after the youngsters.
William Price, perhaps?
Willie's been a very good assistant, but I don't think he's up to taking the class. It's a question of confidence. He's still very young, of course. Barely 21, I think.
He's 21.
Willie Price, the superintendent's son. Have you met Willie?
Anna's going to be 21 tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Yes.
Well, happy birthday for tomorrow.
Thank you.
Look at the furnaces over there. They're huge. Do they ever go out, Mr. Miners?
Never, unless there's a strike. It costs hundreds of pounds to light them again.
Have you got furnaces at your works?
Oh, yes. You can't make pots without furnaces.
Look at the smoke. Father says it's the smoke that stops my gillyflowers from growing properly.
Well, I dare say it is. Your father seems a picture of health, Miss Tellwright. I saw him out this morning at 6:45, as brisk as a boy.
Yes, he's always up at 6.
But you're not, I suppose.
Oh, yes, I am too.
I hope you don't mind me asking this, but I wonder if it's because you aren't yet converted yourself that makes you anxious about the home visits.
I'm sure that's part of it.
I do hope the revivalist will help you to find the certainty to take the next step.
Yes.
I believe he's really excellent. Close to 30 souls saved at Longshaw.
Cousin Henry?
Beatrice. Where did you spring from?
Mama spotted you. She sent me on ahead to catch you. And to say you must be sure to come into supper tonight. Oh, you will, won't you?
Of course. You know Miss Tellwright, I think.
Yes, we've met. Hello.
Good afternoon, Miss Sutton.
And Agnes, may I have a kiss?
You smell lovely.
Thank you. How sweet you are. So, what do you think of our new park?
Splendid. With the planning committee, you've done a lovely job.
It was all Papa, you know.
Oh, I don't doubt it.
Did you see the write-up in the Staffordshire Signal?
Yes.
Papa says it will send up the value of that land over there enormously. Your father owns that, doesn't he, Miss Tellwright? Will he build on it or will he sell?
I'm afraid I haven't the least idea. We must be going, Agnes, dear.
Hello, all of you.
Hello, Mrs. Sutton.
Hello, Aunt Jane.
I'm so glad to see you, Miss Anna. I wanted to ask if you would consider coming to my next Sunday sewing meeting. It's nothing fancy, you know, just a few of the ladies from chapel.
I'm afraid I'm a very poor seamstress.
But it's only plain sewing, and all for charity.
Yes, then. Thank you.
Oh, good girl.
Now we really must go, Agnes.
or we'll be late for tea.
Late?
Oh, yes, you run along now. I don't want to get you in trouble.
Will I see you at chapel tonight?
No, but Agnes and Father will be there.
It's Anna's turn to watch the house.
To watch the house? Hey, I haven't heard that in a long time.
Well, I shall see you soon, I hope.
Yes, goodbye. It was 4:05 when we reached home. It's funny to think how small and cramped that house on Manor Road seems now. Then I thought it's 6 rooms and narrow garden, a spacious domain, plenty big enough for the 3 of us. We knew at once that Father had noticed the time because the door to the front parlour stood open.
Oh no!
What time do you call this?
Don't worry. Hello, Father. It's only 5:05.
Late is late.
Sorry, Father.
Go put the kettle on, Agnes. I'll be there in a minute.
Where have you been?
I'm so sorry. It's such a beautiful day and Agnes wanted to see the new park, so I took her up there.
And now you did. I saw you.
You were there?
Thought I'd go up and see what all the fuss is about. I saw you talking to Henry Miners.
Yes, we were just...
Don't start stammering. Miners is all right. If you're going to loiter in a public park with anyone, it may as well be him.
We weren't loitering.
The Miners are old Bursley. I knew his father.
Did you?
They were a powerful name round here when I was growing up. They had one of those grand houses up the road next to where the Suttons are.
Didn't know that.
And all long gone now. The lad's the last, but he knows how to run works by all accounts. And what did he want with you, anyway?
We were just talking about Sunday school. The revival, mostly.
Ah, I saw the posters have gone up. I saw that fella in Hanbridge once. They'll fair shake him up with his silver cornet. Not that he's any better than he should be.
What do you mean?
Never you mind. Go on. Get on with that tea, or it's me you should want reviving.
That evening, I sat by the bay window in the front parlour and watched my father and Agnes disappear down the slope on their way to chapel. I had a book in my lap, but I knew it would remain unopened. Until that day, if anyone had asked me what I wanted from life, my answer would have been simple. To do my duty by God and my father, to keep my sister safe and well. Love, William, the dalliances of men and women, I'd always rather despised, disapproved of even as something small and unimportant. But now I saw, suddenly and clearly, that it was lovers, not I, who had the right to scorn. How miserable and tepid the stream of my life had threatened always to be. The next morning I had little time to dwell on the events of the previous day, for it brought its own revelation.
Anna! Anna!
I hurried to the front parlour where my father always worked during the day.
Yes, Father?
You took your time.
I was peeling potatoes. Is something wrong?
Don't just stand there. You come in. It's your birthday today. You thought I'd forgotten.
No,
I haven't. You're of age today, Anna, and there's something for you. You'll not remember your mother. Agnes's mother you knew, but she was just a slip of your girl. We had a penny to her name. Your mother had a fortune of her own, and under your grandfather's will, it comes to you when you're 21. I'm the trustee. Your mother had £18,000 in government stock. That was near 25 years ago, and I've nigh on trebled it for you. Thou'rt worth this day as near 50,000 as makes no matter, and that's a tidy bit.
What do you mean? Do you mean £50,000?
Ah, lass.
Do you mean it's mine?
It's not under the grandfather's will. I've not just told thee. I'm bound by law for to give it to thee this day, and thou mun give me a receipt in due form for the securities. If I'm in this list, go on, tuck it now, read it through, and be sure they understand what's writ.
Thank you.
Read it now. Now, there's some of the best investments to be had in this world, and that's no exaggeration. You'll see you some shares in American companies, London companies, most of the local, though. Hambridge Colliery and Brickworks, that's one of your best. Paid 10% last year, and we call up as it is, they'll pay 15 this. Right, let's see what the arithmetic's like, lass. How much is 15% on £5,000?
£750.
That's right. Recollect, that's more than £2 a day. There's some properties too, most of them are your grandfather's doing.
I see.
Total face value, there at the bottom. Now, there's not many in this district as have gotten that to the names, Anna. No, not half that. Let them be who they will.
But, what am I to do with it?
Do with it? Do with it, you say? Take care on it, guard it, girl. Remember, it's thine. Now then, I'm on sign that list, and all these transfers for lulls, and then there are two things that I'm going to do today. First is go to the bank, the manager's expecting thee, they'll open thy own account, and be sure to keep it straight.
But I shan't know a bit what to do.
I'll learn you. Then second, get along to see old Titus Price at Toft End Works. He owes thee a great deal of money, and it'll bring him up short to see thee in his office.
Titus Price? Superintendent Price owes us money.
Owes thee money? Aye. £125 in back rent. He's five quarters in arrears.
I can't believe it. Titus Price, who stands there in front of us all and tells us how we... He should be ashamed of himself.
Aye.
Surely he can pay. He always looks so... I thought him very affluent.
Well... You must stack it up with him.
He's shameful.
Price is all right. Just be firm with him, eh? Now, you tell him you'll not leave without summat, even if he's only £10.
Oh, you don't really want me to go up there, Father. I haven't been in a works before and...
Get up there, girl. Start as the means to go on.
I went to the bank and left with a checkbook and deposit book clutched awkwardly in my hand. Then I set off up Edward Street to Toft End and your father's works. I'd never seen that part of the town. The poverty of the place, William. The blackened misery of the minute cottages huddling on either side of the dirty track which the street became. And when I reached the works, it was no better. I stood on the opposite side of the road, taking in the dilapidated lettering over the arched entrance, the filthy buildings. Surely this was not the place where the imperious Superintendent Price spent his working days.
Mr. Price?
Miss Tilray. Good heavens. Someone take over there.
I hope you don't mind my calling unannounced.
No. Come inside. Come up to the office, will you? You'll have to mind the mess in here. Stand up, will you? Let the lady have a chair.
You were sitting on one side of a large double desk, casting up figures in an account book. You wore an office coat. I remember noticing that the sleeves were short at the wrists and torn at the elbows. It made me think how very recently you'd been a boy. You looked shocked when you saw me. But your expression quickly changed and your blue eyes met mine with such honesty and good intention. And I felt suddenly old and crafty and tainted by the world.
Get down, Tentry, Will. There's plenty of once doing.
Miss Tilwright.
Mr. Price.
Now then, Miss Tilwright.
Father asked me to call about the rent.
Yeah, let me see. This place belongs to you in your own right now, don't it?
Yes, as of today.
Aye. Well, I'm sorry to tell you, as I can't pay anything now. No, nor a cent. But I'll pay £20 in a week's time, so tell the father that.
Isn't that what you said last week?
Yes, but money's tight, very tight. And I may as well speak plain, Miss Tilwright. We can't stay here. You can see the state of the place. How can we make a profit in a place like this?
It does seem rather... Run down.
Run down? What's amiss with this place is it wants pulling down. I've told your father time and again. Unless he can do the repairs required, we shall have no choice but to quit.
Then we are responsible for repairs?
Of course. I've a list here of what one's doing. There's near off 90 items on it. Now, you can tell your father what I've told you. If I had anything by me now, I'd give it you, but believe me, I haven't, and that's all.
Mr. Price, Father said particularly I was to be sure to get something on account, seeing as so very much is owed.
I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you £10 now, and I'll do what I can next week. I can't say fairer than that.
Very well.
How did you go on?
These are my bank books.
Oh, don't want to keep them, you said?
No, I'd much rather you kept them.
Well, then, they shall go in the bureau.
And there's this from Mr. Price. He'll try to send more next week.
He didn't do too bad there. I thought he'd fob you off with your cheque. Oh, I bet his face would have picked you when you turned up.
Father, the state of the works. Mr. Price wants you to go up there and have a look. It's really in the most terrible way.
I know that. We aren't looking.
But if we're responsible for repairs...
£1,000 of repairs won't make that place profitable. And the whole field's only worth 800. The rent's 100 a year, and that's better than not. So squeeze as much as you can out of Price before the whole place falls apart. There. There's the first lesson in business.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening, Mr. Miders.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for coming out tonight to this special teachers' meeting. Mr. Titus Price is detained on business and sends his apologies. So I will be taking the chair. Let us begin with a prayer. Dear Lord, our Heavenly Father, we pray to thee for the success of our revival.
Were you at that meeting, William?
Help us, we beg of you, to work
probably
tirelessly and ardently.
All I could see that night was Henry Miners. I watched him from beneath half-closed eyes. He was standing up, the ends of his fingers pressed against the table. Carefully dressed as usual, with a brilliant red necktie and a gardenia in his buttonhole, he chose his words with such ease and sincerity. To me that night he was perfect. Could it really be true that from the enticements of 1,000 women, this paragon had been preserved for me?
Into your kingdom of everlasting grace and peace. Amen.
Oh.
I thought I would never catch up with you.
I didn't know you were coming this way.
But I'm coming to your house. Didn't you know? I have some business to discuss with your father. I'm to stay for supper, I think.
Oh.
You don't mind?
No. No, it's only... It's only that no one ever comes to our house.
Well, I shall have to change that.
Come through, Mr. Miners. Father, Mr. Miners is here.
How do you do, Mr. Miners?
Very well, Mr. Tellwright, thank you.
I was just going to begin my supper. I don't wait, you know.
Can I take your coat, Mr. Miners?
Why, thank you, Agnes.
That's it. Hang it there.
Did you know he was coming?
No, dear. It's so like Father not to tell me. What's on the table? Please say it's not just the cheese.
No, I put the beef out too.
Oh.
I asked Father if I should, and at first he said no. Very cross, you know. But then he came back and said I could please myself, so I put it out.
Clever girl.
And I found the three glasses that don't have chips in.
Come on. Let's go in together.
Agnes?
What we are about to receive, may the Lord make us truly thankful.
Amen.
Amen. Morsel of beef, Mr. Miners?
Oh, yes, please. I've quite an appetite tonight.
Pass the bread round, Agnes.
And will you come to the revival, Mr. Tellwright?
Nah. Simple prayer does me now.
I heard you used to preach on the Hanbridge circuit.
Aye.
Would you consider preaching for us? We're rather short of good preachers.
No. I've done a bit of more besides. Hanbridge was drowning in debts when I arrived. I cleared them all in 10 years, let alone preaching.
And there's no point in my trying to persuade you.
I suspect you may be immune to persuasion.
Do you now? Well, you suspect right.
The meal passed off very well. Henry Miners sat at our table as though he'd sat there every night of his life. He didn't seem to notice the coarse cloth, the pewter cruet. Everything that I'd feared would cause me mortification. I marvelled at the dauntless way he spoke to my father. I even thought I detected a hint of mischief in his tone when he asked for another helping of beef. And all the while I was sitting next to him, close enough to have touched his arm. Or for him to have touched mine. Later, he and my father went into the front parlour and the door closed behind them. It wasn't until the clock had struck the 9:30 and Agnes had gone reluctantly to bed that he suddenly appeared in the kitchen.
Please, don't disturb yourself. I only came to say good night.
Yes.
What a perfect kitchen. It looks like something out of a painting.
Does it?
Did your talk with Father go well?
I think so, yes. Do you know the artist Vermeer?
No.
You put me in mind of one of his paintings. Sitting there, with a moon in the window behind you. Well, I must go. I do hope you will come to the first service on the Friday night. I'm sure all three will be excellent, but the first is likely to be special.
Then I shall certainly come on Friday.
Good. I so wanted your promise. It will be a great occasion for us all. Good night, Miss Tellwright.
Good night. He had taken my hand, and I had felt his trembling. I had looked up at his eyes, and they were filled with such emotion and yearning.
Daydreaming, Anna?
Yes, I mean, I don't know.
I think I do. Go on, off you go to bed now.
Yes. Sleep well, Father.
Sleep well, lass.
Oh, William. All I could think about between that night and Friday evening was the revival. I spent 3 afternoons visiting the houses of my pupils. Only 2 seemed to regard me as anything other than a tiresome impertinence. But I set aside my embarrassment and pride, and at night I would kneel by my bed and pray that all would be made clear to me. By the time the awaited evening came around, I was beside myself with apprehension.
Off, then.
Yes, I'm late.
You'll be seeing Henry Miners, I dare say.
Yes, I'm sure I will.
Give him a message from me, will you? Or will you just stand still? Tell him, as I say, it's satisfactory. I say, it's satisfactory, got it?
Yes.
It's important now, so don't go forgetting, winch-like.
I won't, but I must go. Goodbye, Father. The service had already begun when I arrived. There was no space left downstairs, so I crept up to the gallery, a small empty pew next to the east wall, and looked out across the heads of the packed congregation. In the vast mahogany pulpit, a small man with fiery, inquisitive eyes was standing alongside the superintendent minister. This, then, was the revivalist.
Friends and fellow sinners, a lot of you, fools that you are, have come here tonight to hear me play my cornet. Well, I have played my cornet. I would play it standing on my head if by doing so I could bring more sinners to Christ. I have been called a mountebank. I am one. I glory in it. For I am God's mountebank, doing God's precious business. But God's precious business cannot be carried on without money. And during the next hymn, there will be a collection towards the expenses of the revival. if you feel willing to give us your sixpences, give. But if you resent a collection, keep your miserable sixpences and get sixpenny worth of miserable enjoyment out of them elsewhere! Oh, Lord, let the sinners come to thee now. Let the sinners come and beg for thy forgiveness.
A young man rose and went to the communion rail. The minister came down from the pulpit and spoke to him, calm and reassuring like a nurse to a child. I could see Henry Minor standing in front of the choir, singing with all his heart. I closed my eyes and tried to block out all worldly thoughts. I must look into my heart. I must confront my own failings. I knew myself to be a sinner, and I knew I must repent. Now, publicly.
The Spirit of Christ is working amongst us. Let us drive the devil out of this chapel.
I am Christ.
Two more people approached the rails. Others were passing down the aisles towards the vestry, where they were being met by proven servants of the church, your father amongst them, and led away for private guidance. I tried to imagine joining those people, walking through the congregation and falling on my knees. What was moving within their souls that refused to move within mine?
Oh, help me, Lord. I believe, I believe.
Anna, are you near the light? Child, but it's quite simple. Cast out pride. Nothing but earthly pride prevents you from realizing the saving power of Christ. Be brave, Anna. It's so simple if one will but submit.
Lord, we bless thee that 17 souls have found thee. Lord, let the fool.
Where do you feel the difficulty to be? You do believe?
Yes. I think I do.
You think? Are you sure? Belief is not with the lips, it is with the heart.
I'm so sorry. I think we'll have to leave for a moment.
But you'll come back?
Yes, I think so. I just need to... I'm sorry.
Outside the chapel, I stood in the porch for a moment, watching the chapel keeper pacing to and fro across the length of the broad steps. There was a notice on the table advertising photographs of the revivalist at a shilling a time. I stared at his face. He had failed. I had failed. I was a lost soul.
Agnes?
Where have you been?
I couldn't sleep. I was still awake at 5, so I went for a walk.
You forgot to buy the bacon. There isn't a scrap and Father's fearfully angry.
Oh, no. Where is he?
In the kitchen.
Father? I'm sorry about the bacon. I'll go straight away.
Where have you been?
Only walking. I couldn't sleep, so I went for...
Well, this is summat, isn't it? This is summat. You think you can go once enough whenever you like now, do you? Never mind about your failure and your sister and the breakfast.
No, I...
Ever since your birthday, you think you can do what you damn well please. Well, you can't.
Enough of it. It was just the revival. I was so hoping that... And I just felt so...
Agnes! Stop blubbing! If anyone here should be blubbing, then it's her!
I'll go get the bacon I want.
What did Henry Miners say?
Henry Miners? Oh.
You gave him my message.
I didn't really have the...
Well, my God. My God.
It was after that that you came to our house for the first time. Yes. That Monday after the revival. My father had barely spoken to me all weekend, and that coupled with my failure to convert had left me feeling quite wretched.
But couldn't you speak to him?
Me? It's not me. He's come to see. I want £20 off him.
I didn't even ask you to sit down. We just stood there, as awkward and manipulated as each other.
How are you?
I'm all right. Thank you. Mr. Price...
It's all right. We got your father's note. The thing is, we don't have £20 to give you this week. We paid 10 last week, if you remember, and...
Oh, there's still over 100 owing.
Trade's bad at the moment.
That's not what my father thinks.
It's bad for us. Believe me. There are too many things against us and the state of the works.
William, I used your name. I was surprised at how easily it fell from my lips.
William, if you will pay what you owe... You have my word that we will spend it all, every penny, on improving the works.
Miss Tellwright, we cannot pay. I did ask your father if I could deal with him. I know this isn't easy.
I'm sure we'll sort it out in the end.
I saw you leaving the revival.
Did you?
I wondered if you were all right. I was very young when I converted. Father said it would help me after my mother died, and it did. It's easier when you're young. I don't know what I'd think if he had to do it now. It'd be the worst thing, don't you think? To declare for Christ if you didn't really feel it in your heart.
Yes. Yes, I do.
How had you known? How could you have known what I was feeling? But you did.
All right, all sorted then.
Father, I think it's not going to be possible for Mr. Price to pay the rent this week.
Well, you better find a way to make it possible, or we shall send the bailiffs in come the end of the month.
The bailiffs?
Father?
Mr. Talbot.
So you tell your father that and don't come back to this house unless you've got something for me. Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
Good, on your way then. Close the door behind you.
Miss Tellwright, Mr. Tellwright, welcome to Providence Works. Please, come in and sit down.
Thank you.
Quite a tidy place you have here.
The next day, my father astonished me by announcing that he was taking me with him to see Henry Miners at his works. I remember thinking how different it was from your father's place, William. Smart and clean, well laid out, and the workers all in white aprons, moving about with an air of purpose.
I shall take you on a tour later, if you'd like.
Aye, well, let's get business done first.
Yes, always the best way. Would you care for some tea, Miss Tellwright? I can ask one of the girls to make you some.
No, thank you.
Now then, Anna, Mr. Miners here came to see me the other day because he's looking for someone to invest in this place. He wants 2,000 pints so he can expand and take business further afield. Is that right, Mr. Miners?
Yes, that's it.
He's not after a working partner, just what's called a sleeping partner, so trust him to get on with the job. Now, I've looked over the books, and we've thrashed out terms, and I'm satisfied that it's a sound investment, and I think it will suit you very well.
Me?
The fact is, I've nothing by me at the moment. Everything's invested, and I'm almost fast for brass. But they'll have as near 2,000 as makes no matter in a month's time, what with interest and dividends.
I hadn't thought of coming to you, Miss Tellwright. I had no idea you had those sums of money. But if you're willing to trust me, I promise I will do everything in my power to justify your confidence.
Right.
So what do you say? Are you willing to be my partner?
Yes. Yes, of course.
And this is the glossed warehouse. The pots rest here until they're ready to be delivered.
Do you use the canal mostly?
Yes, that's right.
Big place?
Yes. But feel free to walk around. Have a look.
I will then.
I can't tell you what this means to me, Miss Tarright. £2,000. Perhaps it's a trifle to you, but
you're
to me...
You're very happy to help. I mean, to be your partner.
I won't let you down.
I know.
How did you find the revival?
I'm afraid he didn't go well for me.
Oh. But Mrs. Sutton talked to you?
Yes, but...
You will keep trying. You shouldn't expect some kind of revelation. I certainly didn't have one. It's more just consciously living each day for Christ. You will keep trying?
Yes. I will. I'm here for the sewing meeting.
Please come in, miss. My dear Miss Tellwright, we thought you were never coming.
Forgive me, Miss Sutton. I wasn't sure if I was supposed to come for precisely or...
Oh, don't worry about any of that. Come along upstairs and take your things off. Here we are. This is my room. Do put your things on the bed, if you can find a space. We've had a wonderful turnout.
So I see.
Do you like chocolate creams?
I've never had one.
Never had one? But how shocking. You must try one at once. Here.
Oh, thank you.
I simply adore them. Papa buys them for me. I love to eat them in bed when I can't sleep. Do you like it?
Yes.
I knew you would. Anna, may I call you Anna?
Yes.
Anna, I hope you won't think me impertinent, but I simply have to say this. I'm really perfectly happy about you and Henry perfectly.
Oh, I'm sorry?
You've probably heard. Have you heard? That we were engaged once. It was about 4 years ago, and it wasn't really a proper engagement at all. More of a childish prank.
But,
and there's nothing at all between us now, except that we're cousins. And terribly good friends.
Miss Sutton.
Beatrice.
Mr. Miners and I have become business partners. Nothing more.
Yes. But, well, I think we all
know. I really
know.
Don't know what...
Now, say you'll be my friend too. It would make me wildly happy if you will.
Of course I will be your friend. I would like that very much, but...
How wonderful. How completely satisfactory. Now let's go down. They'll be wondering where we are. Ladies, for any of you who don't know, this is Miss Tellwright.
Afternoon, Miss Tellwright.
Good afternoon.
Do you have scissors and thread and so on?
No, I'm sorry, I didn't think...
I have everything the needs. You come sit down next to me, miss.
Oh, thank you, Miss Vaudrey. Have you met Miss Vaudrey, Anna? She's Mr. Price's housekeeper, you know.
We haven't met properly.
I always bring two of everything.
Good. I'll go and tell Mother you're here, Anna. I'm afraid Papa has run for cover. But he'll be back for tea, and he's longing to meet you.
Oh.
Shan't be long.
You can help me finish these nightshirts. Your first sewing meeting, is it?
Yes.
I never miss one. It's a small contribution, but it's one as I can make. Oh, the rheumatism's bad in this hand, though. Do you see? I can hardly move this joint.
It looks terribly painful.
Oh, we all have our crosses to bear. That's it. Do that seam first.
Mm. How is Superintendent Price, Miss Vaudrey? I noticed he wasn't at Sunday school.
He went down London on Friday, miss. On business. He should be back about now. He never stops these days. Nor Maester William, neither. You met young Maester Price?
Yes.
The sweeter boy never drew breath. I've practically raised him, you know, since his mother died.
When did she die?
Oh, when he was 11. Oh, and he did take it bad. Not as bad as his father, mind. Oh, what that boy's at cope with. Well, it's very hard. But as I say, we all have our crosses.
Yes. Are there any other sadnesses?
Anna, dear, welcome. I'm so glad you've come.
I'm very glad to be here, Mrs. Sutton.
Do come through to the conservatory. Beatrice has just agreed to sing.
Oh, wonderful.
But I've only just started.
You can bring your work. All the doors are open, ladies, so you shall hear quite well.
Thank you.
Here, let me help you carry that.
Oh, thank you.
How is it with you, dear Anna? Is it well?
I think so.
I've been praying for you. You must lean hard on him and do not be afraid. But you're looking a little pale, if you don't mind my saying so.
Am I?
You need a holiday, I'm sure.
Would your father ever let you have a holiday, do you think?
I doubt it very much.
Anna, you're back. What was it like? Was it thrilling?
It was very pleasant.
Is the house very grand inside? Did you see Miss Sutton's bedroom? Is it pink?
Yes, it's lovely. I saved this for you.
For me?
It's a chocolate cream. Pop it in your mouth then.
Gosh.
Who's that?
It's Willie Price. Father sent me up to Mr. Price's house this afternoon with another note. It said, "This is final" on the front. Does he owe Father money?
Go into the kitchen, Agnes. Put some eggs on to boil for supper.
Oh.
Go on, dear.
Now then, Anna, here's young Maester Price come to see you and pay his rent. Is that right, Maester Price?
Would you like to sit down?
No, thank you. Look here, Mr. Tellwright. You asked for £25. I've got in my pocket a bill of exchange drawn by us on Mr. Sutton and endorsed by him for £30, payable in 3 months. Will you take that? It's for 30, remember, and you only asked for 25.
So Mr. Sutton has dealings with you?
Yes. He buys off us regularly.
And pays his bills at 3 months?
Not often, but sometimes.
Let's see it.
Oh, the bill's all right.
Let's see it.
If only I'd known then what I was later to discover. If only I had stopped that bill from leaving your shaking hand.
So we can pay that bill into the bank?
No. No, we promised Mr. Sutton that he shouldn't leave our hands unless absolutely necessary. Father will redeem it himself before it matures and you shall have your money. We don't want to offend Mr. Sutton, you understand? Will you take it?
Aye. Us'll take it. Though it is but a promise. Us'll take it.
The following week, a partnership contract arrived from Henry Miner's lawyer, and I signed and sealed it under my father's direction. Then on Thursday evening, Agnes arrived home from school with a surprise visitor.
Mrs. Sutton! You'll excuse me coming so unceremoniously. But Agnes said she came in the back way, so I came that way too.
But please come through to the parlour.
Oh, just a minute, dear, while I get my breath. Agnes's legs are so long. But tell me, is your father in?
Yes, he's working, but he'll be out in a moment. He always stops for tea at 4.
Ah, punctual as ever.
Do you know my father, Mrs. Sutton?
But of course. We went to the same Sunday school. How funny you young people are. You always think nothing happened before you arrived.
He's coming.
Good afternoon, Ephraim. I've called to see you and to beg a cup of tea.
You're very welcome, very welcome. How are you?
Quite well, thank you. Though a little tired just now.
Oh, too much do-gooding, I expect.
A contradiction in terms. Now, I must confess that I've come to ask an enormous favour of you.
Oh, aye. Well, if it's about donating to the church building fund, you're too late. I had the minister there on Saturday.
And I'm sure you gave very generously. No, I've come to ask if I might borrow Anna for the last fortnight of August. Mr. Sutton and myself and Beatrice are going to the Isle of Man, and we should very much like her to come with us.
Anna!
But I couldn't.
Why not?
What does she want holiday for? I never had one and I wouldn't thank you for one. Oh, well, you've got no roof of your own to pig in. Where's the sense going elsewhere to pig?
But surely that's one of the great things about having done so very well in life. We can give our children opportunities we didn't have. We really want Anna to come. Beatrice is very anxious about it.
I think you had better leave Anna out this year.
Perhaps I haven't been clear. Anna coming with us would involve absolutely no expense whatsoever on your behalf. She would need nothing, save perhaps for a few new items of costume to bring with her.
New costume, eh?
Please let us take her. I would be eternally grateful. Goodbye, my dear. I've no doubt Beatrice will be round to see you soon.
Mrs. Sutton, I'm so grateful to you.
Nonsense, dear. It's us who are grateful.
I'm almost afraid to let you leave. What if he changes his mind?
Oh, I don't think he will. Not now that he's given his word to me. Thank you for the tea. I shall see you at chapel. Oh, by the way, did I mention that Henry Miners will most likely come with us to the Isle of Man?
No.
Well, he will. Goodbye.
That night, I couldn't sleep. It was too wonderful to be believed.
To go away from the Five Towns, to sail on the sea, to spend hours of unimaginable pleasure on an enchanted isle. I knew. I felt that I was being manoeuvred in some way, but I didn't care. I went to the window. I opened the curtain slightly and looked out. There was no moon that night. But I became aware of a dark shape standing in the street below. And then the shape looked up. And it was you. William?
I'm sorry. I didn't mean for you to see me. Good night.
Wait. What's wrong? Is it about the rent?
My father's not a bad man.
I know.
He tries to do his best.
Is your father all right? Only I've not seen him lately. William?
I don't know why, but I feel like I could tell you anything.
Why didn't I say it? Tell me. Tell me anything. But I couldn't. Not there in the street. Would it have changed anything if I had? Would it have prevented the catastrophe that was soon to befall you? Us?
I must go.
Yes. Do get some rest. You look so tired.
I'm sorry, Mr. Elright. I'm truly sorry.
In Anna of the Five Towns, Anna was played by Charlotte Riley, Tellwright by David Schofield, and Young Agnes by Amelia Harker. William Price was played by Michael Sucker, and Titus Price by James Masters. Henry Miners by Lee Williams, Beatrice and Older Agnes by Rosina Carboni, and Mrs. Sutton by Olwyn May. The revivalist was Andrew Westfield, and Sarah Vaudrey was Jacqueline Redwell. Anna of the Five Towns was written by Arnold Bennett, dramatized by Helen Edmondson, and directed in Manchester by Nadia Molinari. You can hear the final part next Sunday at 3 here on BBC Radio 4. After the news, James Naughtie and readers talk to Benjamin Zephaniah, the poet and novelist who's equally popular with both adults and children. The chosen novel for book club is Zephaniah's Refugee Boy, written for young adults.